residence. She grew up in a city 700 years old, carrion bells in the basilica tower, reliquary beneath the altar, but a schoolgirl at the Lyceum when the invading tanks rolled into the center of town, trailing daffodils. But she embroidered the signatures of liberating soldiers on a green silk scarf one of the troops had given her, became a maternity ward nurse, found my father, or he found her, and followed him overseas to marry for 50 years her man beside her, and 10 more alone. Then we moved her into a residence away from the family home. Her thoughts stray across the ocean to that city in that time. Everyone knew my father, the pharmacist. We were the kids from the pharmacy. During the war, she rode her bike through the fields, no light under cover of darkness. The local farmers paid her father in kind, milk for medicines. The day of the armistice, he was in the street pouring gin for his fellow citizens, this man who read Bible daily to his household. We drove by the other day. Drove by where? Not possibly her native town. Did she mean the house, the hearth of marriage she has not seen since she moved into this tower? And who'd have been driving? Keep her away, they said. Spare her the confusion of returning to empty rooms. But she was of sound mind, they'd said, when she signed her new lease. The house, now another's, she bathed from inside out, cleaned every corner, filled every shelf, did what every parish mother did, feed and clothe the kids, give them direction. My father poured concrete, made a path to the street. He reshingled the roof. He furnished the house with his own handmade furniture for her. She sits among her heirlooms on the couch she made with Dad, he the frame, she the cushions. There she used to knit. Too hard on her fingers now, and so FM classical softly played while my father the daily crossword solved. A jigsaw puzzle's just begun on the dinner table at which I grew. She takes her meals and her society in the spacious dining room below. Her breakfast she eats standing in her narrow kitchen. Occasionally she makes tea. She still reads books of popular fiction, picks them up, puts them down. They were once like chocolates held long on the tongue, read in hours found or afforded around those accorded to errands and chores, to appointments and the managing of household accounts, to looking after and doing for. The last of my line, she says, for not the first time. She looks into the flat-roofed distance. She used to lay her hand upon the open page and look out over the yard, boxwood, cedars, maple trees, her hand smoothening the page, red-winged blackbirds, seasonal sundowns, sometimes a crimson cardinal, familiar folk returning home from work. Soon it'd be time to cook. My father would in due course set down, newspaper and pen, and rise to set the table. On her couch, each afternoon she naps, FM classical, softly playing. No longer bothers to remove her shoes, a throw pillow beneath her head, eyes closed, eyes of blue. The vital roar of her past crashes on her heels and back.